This podcast is supported by ARC, Antenatal Results and Choices. ARC is the only UK nationwide charity offering non-directive, individualised information and support to parents who are making decisions around antenatal screening and diagnostic testing. They also provide specialised bereavement care for those who experience termination for medical reasons. For more information or support, please call ARC on 0207 713 7486.
Hello and welcome to Time to Talk TFMR, Termination for Medical Reasons. I'm Hayley, and joining me today is Casey Thomas-Hardesty. Casey is a mom of three and a lost mom of twins. After a difficult physical recovery from this loss and later a prolapse diagnosis, Casey founded 2P's Wellness. She now helps women in their recovery after pregnancy and infant loss and core and pelvic floor disorders such as incontinence, prolapse, and diastasis. So welcome, Casey. I feel like I need to ask you, did I pronounce the last one correctly?
Diastasis. Although in Europe, diastasis, both ways.
Okay. So I wasn't completely wrong.
Yeah.
So Casey, do you want to just tell the listeners where you're joining us from, actually, since we're talking about accents?
Yeah, I am in the United States, specifically in Kentucky. So I do have a little bit of a Southern twang, probably, for a lot of your listeners.
Yeah, well, we have a fairly 50-50 split-ish between UK and US listeners. It's not quite 50-50, but, you know, those are a majority too. And but of course, you know, accents across the US, you know, change quite
very greatly.
Well.
Yes.
Yeah. But on that side note, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. So, Casey, you know, I mentioned there in your introduction about a twin loss. Do you want to just tell us a little bit about your story? So just for the listener, so Casey's not had a TFMR, but because of her experience, both as a fitness person and her experience with pregnancy loss in general, it felt like she was the best person to talk about this with us. So Casey, would you tell us a little bit about what happened, your experience, and yeah, how it led you to becoming a fitness practitioner?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was never one of those people that was athletic growing up. I was never athletic. Eating, you know, was not healthy, you know, any of that. So I really started getting into more fitness and nutrition in my early 30s. And very soon after, I'm talking like just a couple of months after, I found out that I was pregnant with twins. And so I was very new into this journey, you know, not knowing a lot that was going on, but, you know, really excited for a pregnancy. And very soon after finding out I was pregnant, I started bleeding pretty heavily. So I knew something was wrong. This was my third pregnancy at this point. I already had two boys at the time. So I went in to the doctor, and that's actually when we found out it was twins. We didn't know prior to that, you know, without having a scan. And in the same breath of finding out that we were having twins, we found out that we were losing one of them.
Okay.
So kind of derails everything at that point, because for me, it wasn't just loss as a one-time thing. You know, I still had one pregnancy that was still considered viable at the time. So that went on for about 3 weeks of off and on bleeding, in and out of the doctor's office, in and out of labs, tests, you know, all of the things. And then 3 weeks later, we went back and the second heartbeat had stopped. So we lost that pregnancy as well.
Gosh.
So after that loss, I just kind of wanted to feel like myself again. You know, I'd been going through this for over a month at this point. I always tell people that, you know, like loss isn't a one-time event. It's a process. You know, no matter how that loss is happening, there is a process to it. And mine specifically was, you know, 4 weeks just between bleeding starting and, you know, losing the second pregnancy. And, you know, at that point, I just, like I said, I just kind of wanted to feel like myself again. I wanted to get back to doing the things that I was doing and, you know, get back to, I had friends at the gym, I had a community and, you know, just get back to that. But with the bleeding that I had been experiencing and just some other things, you know, that were going on as well, I struggled even walking down the block. I had a friend that we would meet up and we would walk, and just walking down the block, I couldn't handle it, you know, just from a physical standpoint. I was so worn out. And, you know, here in the US, what you get from your providers after a miscarriage, after a stillbirth, you know, after a loss of any sorts, is just listen to your body.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was trying to listen, but, you know, like, I felt like my brain was telling me one thing, you know, that I was ready mentally to go back and be in this community of support and, you know, walking with friends and things like that. But my body was just worn out. And I had no clue at that time how to get back to that safely. And so that was really started my journey of trying to figure out how to progress back safely. Researching, looking at understanding core and pelvic floor health, understanding progressions back into fitness, and, you know, like really understanding that so that I could both get back to what I was mentally ready for, as well as honoring what my body had been through to get back into the gym.
Yeah, that's really helpful. Like, I really resonate with this idea that your head is saying one thing and your body is saying completely something else, and how upsetting that can be to feel like, you know, you've been through all of this. I mean, first of all, like to have the two losses happen like that and have these weeks. I mean, again, I really resonate because there's this sense of limbo that I think a lot of TFMR mums will recognize as well, this feeling of limbo that you're not quite sure what's happening or where this is going to go. You know, you have a bit of information, but not all the information, and it changes over time as well. So there's similarities in how that process happens. And then to sort of have the tragedy happen and feel disconnected from your body, because your head's saying one thing, body's saying another. So I guess it's how we work with that, because it's very frustrating and upsetting for women to have that happening. The whole thing you didn't feel in control about, and now there's this as well.
Right. And even the phrase of listen to your body.
Yeah.
It's
very triggering.
It's because it's like, well, I get a lot of people that say, well, I feel like my body betrayed me.
Yeah.
And, you know, how can I listen to my body whenever I feel like my body betrayed me? And it's really learning to trust your body again, trust yourself again with movement, and understanding that things will be okay.
Yeah.
Understanding that you didn't cause this. This isn't your fault. You know, what happened is not on you. It's not on your body. Sometimes stuff just happens, you know, right? Like, that's not within our control. And so really understanding that. And I think just personally, from what I found with my movement practice, is the more that I move and kind of feel movement in my body and learn, how does this feel when I do this? How does this feel when I do this? If this piece isn't feeling great, what can I do to kind of like get unstuck from that? The more that I do that, the more I really learn about myself and my body, and I become more in tune with my body. And I think that's kind of where that trust comes. You know, you can learn to trust your body again. And the mental piece, I think, is always going to be there. You know, like, there's always going to be things that bring up my losses, things out of the blue. I always say that even though I have programs that cater towards people that have experienced a loss, I will never say that they're trigger-free programs, because I don't know your triggers.
Yeah.
I know my triggers, but I don't know yours. And so I can never say something is 100% trigger-free, but we can get back to moving in a safe manner and help you learn how that movement works for you.
Yeah. I think that's really important, this thing about the trigger part. I was going to say love hate, but it's kind of just hate of that word trigger, because I feel like it's just impossible. And I think you're setting yourself up for a big time failure if you think that you're going to go out into the world and be able to avoid triggers in some way, or that's what's going to get you out back into the world, is being able to know where the triggers are. And it's like, well, yes and no, you know, we kind of need to work with them at the same time. And it's part of, as you say, it's part of reintegrating with ourselves. I mean, when we're talking about the body, we're talking about ourselves, you know, we can't sort of separate it out. We are our bodies, and our experience happens through our bodies. And this is why it's difficult. I think especially Western country, you know, there's this sort of trying to separate them, and they're not. And if anything, pregnancy loss really highlights how linked we are, how we are our bodies, and we experience everything through our bodies. You know, we're talking about trauma, aren't we?
Right.
And what's your sort of, you know, so for you, so how did you start to put these things together? How did you start to kind of go, right, this is how I'm going to start to listen to my body, you know, how am I going to tune in? How did you go about doing that?
For me, it was, like I said, I had a really good community at my gym and friends, you know, who we would go on walks together. We, you know, do things together. And so I think part of it was getting back to that community, and having that, it was a very supportive group. But also having the confidence, you know, I had confidence in myself, and then they were super supportive to where once I did go back to the gym, I wasn't doing what they were doing. You know, I was there. I was present. I was within that space, but I was off doing my own thing of what felt good at the time. So it was very slow. It was progressive. You know, if they're doing a bunch of squats, I might be lying on the ground doing some mobility or something like that.
Right.
But I was still in that space, you know, not by myself. I think, you know, I am a massive introvert. I love being, you know, by myself. I can do that. But I think in that time, in that space, I needed people that were even just to sit with me, you know, just to sit beside me and be present.
Gosh, it's so important. That is so important. Yeah. You're so right. Yeah.
So I think having, you know, that was helpful. I'm also, you know, at the time when this happened, this was in 2015, there were no programs. There were, you know, core and pelvic floor health was not really a thing. You know, we didn't have the information and the prevalence of, you know, information and support and everything that we have now. Even feel like that's not that long ago.
But
we didn't have that, and not even close. And so that is really what led me, you know, I had to go down this path of trying to figure things out for myself and putting it together. You know, part of that for me, just as someone that is super big into learning, you know, I took all of the courses that were available. I took all of the certifications that were available. You know, I completely changed
profession.
My profession. I did. I went from, I was a financial analyst at a hospital, to doing what I do now. So I have the degrees. I have a master's in biology. So like I understood, you know, body processes and movement and stuff from that perspective. But I went back in my 30s and got all the certifications, all of the education to understand further and to be able to feel comfortable playing around with that, you know, because I think it's intimidating just coming in, and we feel like, you know, you hear like intuitive eating, intuitive movement. Well, it's not intuitive for a lot of people.
No.
You know, if you didn't get that information when you were growing up, if you weren't around that, it's not really intuitive.
No.
Can it become intuitive? Yes. But there's a lot of learning that comes in between there. And so for me, you know, movement wasn't intuitive and, you know, none of that was. So I had to go back and kind of learn to where I felt comfortable to do that.
Yeah. And were the, was there any input or understanding from when you say the people at the gym, are you talking about like just other people who went to the same gym as you? So Joe Public, or are you talking about a class? Are you talking about professionals? When you say group, what do you mean?
At the time I did it was like a small group fitness class.
Okay.
At a gym, there were maybe like 10 people max in this class. And for the most part, it was kind of like a regular group of people that would go to this, you know, these particular days and times.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a core group of people. My sister-in-law was one of them, you know, that went with me. I had one or two friends that were in there, but even outside of that, like we knew, you got to know the people that were there. We had the same trainer at each course, and she was incredibly supportive. She actually herself had experienced losing an infant to SIDS.
Okay.
So, you know, just kind of being in a similar, not a similar loss experience, but, you know, experiencing loss herself.
Yeah, yeah. Child loss, infant loss, baby loss. They're in the same umbrella. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I get the sense that it was a really supportive and nurturing environment. I mean, going to gyms can be quite intimidating for people, especially women, I think. And it sounds like your experience was not that. So I guess I'm interested in that part as well, about how you felt supported on the whole and supported within this by your group and the instructor. Because, you know, you said that they would be doing one thing and you would be doing another. And it sounds like you had quite good ability to give that to yourself, actually, because I can imagine there'll be some people that would be like, no, I'm going to push. If they're doing that, I'm going to do the same.
Yeah. And gyms, you're right. Gyms can be incredibly intimidating. Even myself coming in, you know, this is my current profession. This is what I do for a living. I absolutely understand how to use equipment and how to move and what the correct form and everything is. But if I were to walk into just a big box gym right now, I would still be kind of looking around and, you know, being like, okay, well, where am I going to go? Let me stay out of everybody's way. You know, I think that's absolutely normal. So part of that is really finding a gym that feels more comfortable to you. So this particular gym, like I said, it had a large open area where you could go and just work out, but it also had classes. And, you know, taking those classes, I felt was helpful because it was smaller groups of people. You know, having a friend go with you. You know, whenever I first started doing this, my sister-in-law and I went together to these classes. So at least we knew each other if we didn't know anyone else. You know, I think that can always be helpful. Really understanding, I have a friend, Brianna Battles, who is in the pregnancy and postpartum space, and she calls this, you know, pushing yourself almost past what your body is telling you is your limit as athlete brain. You know, we have this athlete brain that's telling us, no, you need to be doing this. You need to be doing that. And part of that is really just what I call the toxic fitness side of things, of thinking that the only way to a good workout is if you're sweaty and exhausted and breathless, and thinking that you have to do certain workouts, you have to look a certain way, you have to do a certain thing. And really, like, that piece is, you have to deconstruct that. You have to, you know, part of that may be following different people on social media, changing who, if your trainer is one that's telling you that you have to push through. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. You know, we all body goals and all of these things, you know, removing yourself from that situation. You know, like it's just, that is part of your, you know, it's just, it's one of those things you have to do. You have to take yourself out of that situation and put yourself into something better.
Yeah. And I mean, just listening to that, I mean, this is toxic without pregnancy loss in the mix.
Right.
Put pregnancy loss in the mix and you are adding levels to this that are really damaging and potentially damaging to the process of processing what the trauma has been, you know, being able to kind of be with the grief as well. It's just not a great message of, you know, just keep pushing through, because I mean, that is right. In grief and trauma, pregnancy loss, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that that we put, I mean, I put it on myself. Just keep pushing through, keep pushing through, keep doing, keep moving, don't stop. And those two things combined, if you put that with fitness and some of these messages in fitness that we have picked up, then it can be a really dangerous, I guess, maybe place to be in.
It can. And, you know, not just mentally, but physically as well.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think a lot of people, you know, just myself and then working with the number of women that I've worked with over the years, a lot of people that experience loss, whether it is pregnancy loss or infant loss, we don't consider ourselves postpartum.
Exactly.
Because you see postpartum as this live birth, 6-week thing.
Yeah.
When in reality, your body, as soon as implantation happens, your body starts changing. Mm-hmm. Your blood volume changes. Your organs are shifting. Your, you know, all of these body processes are happening mm-hmm. early. And so, you know, I tell people, I don't care when your loss occurred. I don't care how your loss occurred. You still deserve to have support and through that process.
Yeah.
Now, is it going to look different for someone that experienced a loss at 6 weeks versus 39 weeks? Absolutely.
Yeah, of course.
But that doesn't mean that someone that experiences loss at 6 weeks should be just cleared to go back to regular physical activity immediately.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of people are getting. You know, I don't personally have experience with termination, but you know, I would assume that you get a lot of the same things as my people that are experiencing, you know, miscarriage or stillbirth do after, you know, surgical procedures. It's typically like, oh, take 3 days.
Yeah.
You know, take a couple of days off.
Yeah.
And that your body has not even begun to come back to what it was pre-pregnancy at that point.
Yeah. I mean, 3 days is
not
just,
no.
3 days yeah. is nuts. I don't care what your loss is. That's just
right.
3 days is insane.
Your blood volume, you know, like your yeah. organs, like I said, are shifting. And if we are just using this idea to, I need to push back through, or, oh, I'm cleared. The, you know, provider yeah. said that I can go back to quote unquote normal. You're missing a big, big piece of that.
Yeah.
And so, yes, I think movement can be incredibly helpful. I think it can be healing both mentally and physically, but we have to do it from a smart way. And, you know, doing it in a way that is going to allow you to honor where your body is now, honor what your body has been through, and kind of protect yourself, help to, you know, of what you want to do long term.
Yeah.
You know, like we're looking at things sort of as either working through or prevention of incontinence, pelvic organ prolapse, diastasis, you know, all of these things that can occur if you are going back into just regular activity with no modifications, no regard to what your body has been through. You know, I take it with my clients on a case-by-case basis. You know, I always, you're an adult, you can make your own decisions. But I think in order to make those decisions, you need to be fully informed of risks, benefits, you know, what is going on. So many people aren't even aware that the pelvic floor is a thing, that their pelvic floor even exists, what it does. And so if you are just going back in after having a loss, at any stage of pregnancy, then not taking your pelvic floor into consideration, you're running the risk of having those things that can be longer term. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you come up and have those sort of issues of like incontinence, prolapse or something, and you had, you know, had that after a loss, I feel like that just piles more on top of each other. And it becomes harder to kind of navigate and again, come back to that, like trusting my body. Well, my body, you know, I not only went through a loss, but now my, you know, I'm leaking. I have prolapse. Now I have something else. And what the heck do I do now? And then we run the risk of, it's kind of like this pendulum, you know, like we don't want to go and just push through as normal. But also, we know the benefits. There's plenty of documented research on the benefits of strength training, of cardiovascular training, you know, in terms of reducing dementia, diabetes, osteoporosis, you know, all of these health factors. And so we also, you know, don't want to be on the side of don't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, just sit and rest and never pick up anything again, never, you know, do anything again, stop all activity. And we see both sides of that. But really, there needs to be that kind of middle ground whenever it comes to terms of recovering postpartum and recovering after loss.
Yeah, this is kind of like reorientating yourself with yourself. That's kind of how I'm seeing it. It's like you are different now in so many ways. And I mean, we've talked about it before in the podcast about, you know, this post-traumatic growth idea and, you know, being a different, you're a different person. You won't be that same person anymore. And what I'm hearing is this, you know, physically you are different. Your body changes after pregnancy. And I think we're doing ourselves a real injustice to think that we can get back to what we were before. You're never going to be the same.
Right.
And that's understanding what your body has physically gone through. And what you've gone through mentally is really quite key in being able to look after yourself for the future you, I think is what I'm hearing you say.
Yeah. And just because I think it's important too to say, you know, just because you will never be what you were doesn't mean that you can't be better.
No, no, you it's know, just different, right? This,
it's just different. Yeah. And, you know, we are so programmed as a society, especially in terms of, you know, women aging and, you know, postpartum and pregnancy and everything else. We are in this like bounce back culture. You know, I at now 40 should look like I'm 20. Mm. And that's just not possible. that's not going to happen. But that doesn't mean that at 40, I can't be in better physical health, better physical shape than I was at 20. Mm-hmm. You know, but my body is going to look different. It's going to require different things than it did back then.
Yeah.
It's going to postpartum, it's going to require different things than it did during pregnancy. Even if you had an extremely, you know, what we call like a fit pregnancy, even if you worked out all the way up until, you know, you had your loss, even, you know, and you were running and lifting and doing all the things, you still have to take a different approach after.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're speaking a lot of sense. And I think the difficulty, like when I've had people ask me about, can you do an episode about exercise, Haley? Exercise after TFMR, weight loss after TFMR. And I'm just going to be honest here. I've always felt really awkward about it because I have been worried about the messaging around that idea of bouncing back, of somehow there's almost been a kind of read between the lines of I've had this enormous life-changing loss. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to process it. maybe if I get back to the body I had before, somehow that will fix it.
Right.
That's been my God honest truth hesitancy about doing this episode sooner.
Right.
But I think what you were saying is exactly, and you know, you're sort of what you're doing is you're saying that this is not what it's about. It's not going to fix what's happened.
Right.
We're dealing with what we've got now and learning who we are now and working with that.
Right. Yeah. We can't erase what happened from, you know, either mentally or physically. Like it's going to be there. But we can get you back to doing those things you love. You know, we can get you back to hiking. We can get you back to playing soccer. We can get you back to a gym community. We can get you back to those activities while honoring your body and your loss, and, you know, not pushing you to a point to where, you know, you're breaking down even further, not pushing you to a point to where you're basically running the risk of damaging your body. And I know, you know, like I said, I know that it can be one of these things of like, I just want to forget what happened. I just want to get back to quote unquote normal. And, you know, if that is you, and that is, if you come to me like that, and that is where you're approaching fitness, I can still take you and get you to a place where we are both comfortable with that. You know, like where you are comfortable, where you are pushing yourself at a level where it feels like it's normal. It doesn't feel like you're being treated different. It doesn't feel like you're having to check in with your body and like rehash this trauma every time you go to the gym. But from my perspective, I know that I'm helping you take care of your core and pelvic floor at the same time. Both can happen at once if that is where you are, because I'm not a mental health professional. You know, so there is so much that I can't help you work through, but I can help you work through fitness. And I can, you know, while you are on these, I guess, parallel journeys, you know, you're working on your mental health in one aspect, I can be there to walk alongside you and make sure that we are being safe with movement at the same time.
Yeah, I think that's really crucial because, you know, physical health, it impacts our mental health.
Right.
So, you know, it is, if doing something physical is important to you, I can see even more so if it was something you did pre-pregnancy, if it was something that was inbuilt in you that you did anyway. So in a sense, it's a part of maybe your identity. You know, it's this balancing act, isn't it? It's just, where is it in the, as you were saying, you know, where on this pendulum are we getting to, and are we finding somewhere in the middle? So there's some real practical things that you're working on, like core and pelvic floor health, how to do these things safely. If you have a woman through pregnancy loss and you can tell she's pushing herself too hard, is that something that you come across? Do you have clients like that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I, at that point, again, I'm very much a proponent of client autonomy. Yeah. You know, I'm not going to tell you what you have to do.
Yeah.
But my job is to support you. Mm-hmm. And supporting you through that may look like, hey, today we are going to add in, you know, this mobility flow. And you don't even have to phrase it as, you know, oh, I'm adding in this mobility flow because I see that you're pushing yourself too hard and, you know, you need this for your mental health and whatever. But it's, you know, and it's 100% true of like, hey, this mobility flow is going to help your squat form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also, this mobility flow is going to help your hips get some much needed, you know, love. It's going to help you slow down a little bit in your movement. It's going to help, you know, do all of these other things, but you have to look at it from the client's perspective. What are they going to be receptive to right now? What do they need right now? And maybe you come to me and you don't need me to be telling you like the benefits of poor pelvic floor health. You don't need me to be like slowing you down. You need me to take your current workout and make that work for where you are.
Yeah.
And so again, that I can do that with small changes. I can do that with adding in some mobility flow. I can do that with slowing down the tempo, which you're going to feel when I do that. But, you know, it's still getting in an excellent workout. It's still allowing you to use these weights, but, and also unknowingly, it has all of these other benefits as well.
Yeah.
You know, so it's really like tailoring it to the person of what they need in that moment. And tomorrow is going to look different.
Yeah.
Yesterday looked different. You know, each day in general, you know, especially with my core and pelvic floor clients, you know, we talk about like, well, what are your symptoms today? You know, like, where are you in your menstrual cycle? Like all of these things play a role just in everyday, you know, fitness. But then you look at someone that's experienced loss and you add the new level of grief and trauma on top of that. And so today may be a great day. And today we may be able to push you further. And tomorrow you may feel like absolute garbage, both mentally and physically. And so we dial it back, but we don't have to approach it from this lens of, oh, well, you need to super slow things down today. You're just not into it, you know, like whatever. We can approach it from, this is going to help you get better. This is going to help your lips. This is going to help your climbing. Oh, you know, you want to do this. Let's do this accessory work because it's going to help these particular muscles or something. And it just, it kind of flows with where you are. You know, fitness can flow with how you're feeling just in general, but especially through grief and trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. And okay. So if somebody doesn't have you, Casey, to guide them. Okay. So if we're sort of, they don't have a Casey and they're wanting to kind of, how do they start? How do they approach it basically? Yeah. Go.
So so first of all, there are a lot of really great coaches that are open, you know, maybe they haven't experienced this situation themselves, but they're open to it. They're empathetic. You know, that is a great starting point. There's a lot of online resources. You know, I am very prevalent online with a lot of both free resources and programs that, you know, you can follow if you need a program to follow, basically. But if you're just wanting to go in there and do it yourself, I think the biggest key is understanding that basically two things, both that, you know, progress is not linear. You know, we look at this with weight loss. We look at this with symptoms. We look at this with fitness, everything. You are not just going to progressively get better and better and better and better. It is a roller coaster, you know, for lack of
so
better
true.
Visualization. You are going to have days where you feel like Hulk and you can, you know, throw all the weight around. You can do all the things. And then you're going to have days where you're just like, I have zero energy. You know, we even see those flows just within a month time period based on your menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
You know, so understanding that, number one, and that it is normal. It is absolutely normal to have go in a day and you have no energy. And so understanding that it is normal, I think helps you to, I guess, accept that, you know, okay, I need to honor what my body is needing today.
Yeah.
Grief aside, you know, not even looking at grief and trauma and loss, that is just a normal part of the human experience. And so understanding that that's normal, I think that allows someone to go in and not feel like, oh, I'm terrible today. You know, why am I not strong today? Because that's normal.
That's you're not fighting against yourself. That's what I'm hearing here. It's like, let's not fight against yourself. Let's work with rather than against. And cutting, it's not even cutting yourself slack. It's, I mean, there might be a, like a mental slack. Maybe there's a voice in your head that's doing all this, like you must be doing blah, 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 blah.
Right.
But it's literally sort of honoring where you're at. And if we're going to start sort of reintegrating, you know, connection with your body and being able to trust your body again, that's really key. I can really see that.
Right. And, you know, it's, again, part of that learning to trust your body is education and understanding your body.
Yeah.
And so if you can understand that these certain things are normal,
yeah,
you know, this certain thing happens. You know, I see this again a lot with my pelvic floor clients. They'll have an illness or something, and, you know, they had a whole lot of coughing, and all of a sudden they have some symptoms. And, you know, nobody has ever told them, they've never experienced this before. So they think that they have just ruined their pelvic floor.
Right.
That they have completely re-injured themselves and everything. And so just reiterating that, no, that's normal. It's absolutely normal to experience an increase in symptoms after an illness. It's typically very temporary. You know, your body just needs a little bit of rest and recover. You may need to add some more pelvic floor relaxation in, you know, something like that, but just know that it's normal. And that takes a lot of the stress away, and it allows you to be like, okay, I've got this, you know, this is okay. I can work around this. Same thing with loss and trauma and grief. You know, if you understand just in general that it's normal to have these ebbs and flows in energy and strength in cardiovascular endurance, you know, all of the things, that I think it helps you to not push yourself past what your body is capable of handling at the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, there's something about, again, resilience in this. It's sort of, resilience doesn't mean that you're able to do all the things that you think you should do. It's, resilience is actually being able to sit there and go, oh, actually, I'm really tired today. I think what I need is a short walk around the block and a cup of tea and maybe some nice light stretches later. You know,
right.
If we're talking in an exercise sort of format, you know, so it's kind of, yeah, it's this really re-engaging with your body. Maybe even this is for probably for another subject, but engaging for the first time, because I can imagine that even there may be some women who've never really been engaged with their bodies, and this whole process has, you know, opened up a whole other thing for them. It's really fascinating, Casey, and I really appreciate you sharing all of your knowledge and experience and some of your personal experiences as well. I'm just wondering, before we finish, did you want to explain what the significance of 2Ps? I think we kind of know, but what that significance is.
So I started my business, I had my third child about a year after my losses, and I started my business about a year after that. And whenever I was trying to think of names for my business, you know, a lot of people tell you, especially on social media, just use your name, you know, something that is easily recognizable, and you can, you know, adjust, you know, what your specialty is or something after that. And I just kept coming back to this idea of 2Ps, because what really started me on this whole fitness and wellness journey and really kickstarted my change in profession was my twins and the loss of my twins. And a lot of times you'll see twins, you know, depicted as like peas in a pod, you know, 2Ps in a pod. And so that is where 2Ps Wellness came from. Kind of my honoring them and their, you know, role that they've played in this. And kind of, you know, just keeping that at the forefront of what I'm doing and why I'm doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that, Casey. You know, they forever changed you, as we were saying earlier on in the episode, you know, when we started this, that you're forever changed by these experiences.
Right.
And that's something to honor, that we are changed, I think. I know. I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honoring that I have changed, and then also like the amount of people that I've been able to help.
Yeah.
over these last years because of my experience.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That they come through in that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you, Casey. One of the things that we do right at the very end is called a TFMR takeaway. So I wanted to just ask you, it's kind of like it's like your parting shot. It's like the thing that people can just take away to remember and, you know, think about, ruminate on, or consider. So the question is, when considering getting back into exercise, you know, we'll put aside the being physically ready, what is the most important factor to consider after pregnancy loss?
Putting aside any, you know, physical things of like bleeding, incision, healing, anything like that, you know, just mentally, you know, if you're ready to start moving, you know, if you're ready to get out of bed, you know, if you're ready to leave the house. And if you're ready to do that, go for it.
Yeah.
Have, you know, do it in a way that is honoring where you are in that time, whether that is, like you said, just going for a walk, doing some mobility, you know, just getting out of the house and walking around the block with a friend. Start there. Start gradually increasing what it is that you are able to do. And, you know, by taking that approach and honoring what you've been through, your body and, you know, mental health can be stronger in the long run because of it.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Casey.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you've been great. Maybe we'll get you back on again if we want to explore this a bit further. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you've enjoyed it. Please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you get your podcasts from. This means you'll get all of our new episodes as soon as they're released, and rating us will help others who need us to find us. Get in touch. We love hearing from you. Find us over on social media, Facebook and Instagram at Time to Talk TFMR. That's all for this time. Thank you, and please take gentle care of yourselves.